Comics Log, joke date, Wednesday, May 1st, 2019. Happy May Day. Hey, hey, 1st of May, I'm driving all across Oregon all damn day.
The time has come for the podcast whose time has come. This is That Podcast, and since it is that time, and since that time has come, it is now time for us to present, proudly, Steve's Big Dumb Podcast with Steve Goody. And now, Steve Goody.
Yes, sir. I just crossed into Oregon from Idaho, and it's always exciting to get to Oregon. Why? Well, because two reasons. One, it's the state that's all the way at the edge of the country. Usually when I'm driving cross country, I'm aimed at Oregon for some reason, and that's how I know I'm at the last state before the ocean. Yeah. And the second reason it's exciting, of course, somebody else will now pump my gas. Because gosh darn it, I'm tired of pumping my own gas. I can't be pumping my own gas. I'm driving. That's all I can do is drive. I don't know why I'm talking like this. Anyway, good to be here in Oregon. Had a very fun show last night in Boise, Idaho. My friend Lanice and her husband Joe and a bartender and three other people. Yeah. But I gotta tell you, as much as it is disappointing when there is a small to nothing crowd, because you want a bigger crowd, you're not gonna get big laughs with a small crowd. One thing I'm really getting out of doing all this touring and making no money at it is the confidence that even if there's nobody there, we're still going to have fun. We're still going to have goddamn fun. And I've been learning that as I go, but it really came home to me last November when I was in Cape Cod at the home of my friend Carol LaDuke, who is one of the three people who listens to this podcast, if I'm not mistaken. And it's always three people for some reason. Anyway, we're at Carol's house. I had played there before. The last time we'd had maybe, I don't know, 14 people. And this time we had three. And it's a tiny little house, which is adorable, with the dog named Elvis. Even the dog wasn't watching this show. But Carol and her two friends whooped it up for me. We had a lot of fun that night. I did about an hour and a half for three people. And it was fun. And as I say, yeah, you want more people. But I am not scared and only mildly humiliated now when there's nobody there, because it means nobody knows who I am. There's no big clamoring to get Steve Goody tickets. Oh my God, Steve's coming to town. Cancel everything. I'll iron my sheets tomorrow. I got to get tickets to go see Steve tonight. That doesn't happen yet, but it's fine. So last night, a really cool place, the Gem Center for the Arts in Boise, Idaho, has a little space off in the corner that seats maybe 30, I think, maybe 40. And a woman named Jen is the one who put this together in the Center for the Arts, made a little comedy club. And she's got tables that light up. She's got very space-age decor. They call it the bar at the end of the universe. I think that's what, or the lounge at the end of the universe. Anyway, there's a very Douglas Adams, Star Wars, Star Trek kind of vibe to it. She herself is a comedian, and she has run comedy clubs and done time on stage, and she totally gets it. So I was very pleased to disappoint her with a showing of five people plus herself. But as I say, it was still a lot of fun, and I chatted with the folks afterward, and the two of them, who I didn't know, there's three folks there that I didn't know beforehand. A couple named Terry and Stan, and another fellow named Justin, who came in a little late. Terry and Stan were just wacko, and they enjoyed every little bit of it, and I had fun with them too. And so much so, they said, next time you come to town, you got to play our house, when I let them know that I play house concerts. So, hey, Terry and Stan, I'm going to take you up on this. I'm going to play your house next year. You better get a house, because I'm playing it. So that was just nifty good fun. Now, here's the funny part, in my opinion. Afterward, let me start over. When I set up for my show, it takes me about an hour and a half to set up, because I bring my own PA system and lights and gadgetry for playing back video and stills and audio. It's very multimedia. I got to set it all up myself and then tear it all down. It takes about an hour and a half to set it up and about an hour to tear it down. And my friends, Lanice and Joe, they were there while I set it up. But when we were tearing it down, I said, why don't you guys just go home, feed the dogs, give me the name of the restaurant where we're going, and I'll meet you there. So they did, and they took off. So it's just me and Jen. Jen's just kind of watching, helping where she can, but she knows enough to just let me do what I'm doing. It is better if I just tear it all down myself. That way I know I'm not forgetting anything. And so I tear it down. We chat a little bit. She's real cool. She tells me she's got a 7-year-old who's into Harry Potter and funny songs, so I give her a Harry Potter disc, and that's all groovy. And so, and she helps me load stuff into the car once I've got it all packed up. And then I said, okay, I want to do one more idiot check. She said, that's what I call it. And that means going back into the club, making sure, just having a good look around, making sure there's nothing there that belongs to me. And it all looks good. So she says, okay. She locks it up. She gets in her car. She drives away. And that's when I realize my cell phone is still in there. And there's nobody in there. And since I don't have a cell phone, I can't call her to say, hey, I forgot my cell phone. So little by little, it dawns on me, I am screwed. Because Lanice and Joe have gone, and Jen has gone, and there is nobody here, and I don't really know where I am, because I relied on the phone and the GPS to get here in the first place. So I scramble my thoughts. I assemble some sort of plan. I realize I still have my laptop, so I pull out the laptop, and of course, I cannot find any Wi-Fi. There's like 20 signals around me, and they all have passcodes, and I can't get in. And Jen is driving, getting farther and farther away. Who knows where the hell she lives? By the time I get her, she might be in Canada, for all I know. I'm like, oh, man. And try not to panic in situations like that. You try to keep calm. I'm a grown-up. I can handle this. But you don't realize how reliant you are on the technology till all of a sudden you can't have it anymore. And I do have paper maps in my car. I could look at them, but quite honestly, I need my phone. I can't leave Oregon without my phone. I can't just leave Lanice and Joe wondering where the hell I am. I mean, eventually they'll start wondering where I am, and eventually, maybe hours later, they'll come back to the Gem Center for the Arts to see where Steve is, and I could just wait for them. But what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? It occurs to me, all right, here's what you do. Get in the car and see if you can find a Kinko's or a McDonald's or something that has free Wi-Fi. So the odds of finding a Kinko's are not that good. But as I drive, just happen to make a right turn out of the parking lot, keep being very sure to maintain my bearings so I can find my way back to where I am, because I have a feeling I'm going to need to. I turn right onto the main road, and immediately I see a McDonald's. Like, all right, something's going right. I go over to the McDonald's, I buy small fries, which gives me the right to sit there for hours if need be, and use their Wi-Fi. And I get online, and I get on Facebook, and I send Lanice a message saying, oh my God, I screwed up, I'm an idiot. I left my phone in the Gem Center for the Arts, and I'm at the McDonald's a couple blocks away. And she writes back almost immediately. She says, okay. And I say, could you please call Jen and ask her to come back? Because I don't have Jen's number, but Lanice does. And she says, yes, I will do that. Hold on. So I hold on. And I wait. And I eat my fries. And I wait. And I realize I shouldn't be eating fries. We're supposed to be going out to dinner, but it's too late. And finally, Lanice manages to sort of get hold of Jen. Well, she sends her a message and leaves a voice message, but hasn't gotten a reply yet. Oh, man. Well, at least I got her on the team now, because she has a cell phone. She says, we're going to go over to the Gem Center and wait for her. So I go over there, too. So the three of us, Lanice and Joe and I, who are supposed to be having a lovely dinner at this point, are sitting waiting outside the place where I did the show for the six people. And eventually, Jen gets the message, calls back, says she's way, way far away where she lives, but one of the fellow employees of the Gem Center for the Arts lives across the street. Hopefully he's not asleep. It's now 10 o'clock at night. And then we get a message a little while later, or a call a little later. I'll come right over. So, whew. What's his name comes across the street, opens the door, I get my phone, we go out to dinner, and everything is groovy once again. And that is why I'm able to be talking into my phone right now and telling you this fascinating story. So, now I'm driving across Oregon. I've been on the road for about 2 hours, got about 6 hours and change to go. It's a lovely day in Oregon. I'm looking forward to seeing my friend David and playing a show there. in Eugene, and then the next day it's off to South Beach to see Kathy and Boo Red Wine in their new house and play a house concert there. So all is well. Thank goodness. And now, here comes a funny song after I remind you that this is Steve's Big Dumb Podcast that you've been listening to. Please subscribe. Go to stevegoody.com to see my tour map and see where I'm going to be. And that'd be dandy. Here comes a dumb song that I have not yet picked out, but as soon as I get somewhere and edit this, man, will there be a fun, stupid song. Thanks for listening.
I've learned so much from my dog. Yes, I have. He lives the most contented life, sniffing and humping and sleeping, and I've always tried to magnify his joy and never spoil it. I'm learning from the master, who's drinking happily from the toilet. My dog never multitasks. When he's licking his ass, he's licking his ass. He's not on the phone and making tea and checking email while watching TV and working Craigslist simultaneously. No, when my dog licks his ass, he just licks his ass. And that's all. They say it's a dog's life when things go wrong. Yes, they do. But I have never understood why napping all day is anything but good. If I could heighten all my senses, there's so much he could teach. But like inner peace and nirvana, there are some things I just can't reach. My dog does one thing, that's all. When he's licking his balls, he's licking his balls. He's not shopping online, acquiring more possessions, making gluten-free pasta and popping antidepressants, replacing all his light bulbs with fluorescents. No, when my dog licks his balls, he just licks his balls. Man, I wish I could do just one thing at a time.
Steve's Big Dumb Podcast with Steve Goody is over. We've been podcasting for quite some time, and now the podcast is over. That means we're not podcasting anymore. Until next time, when Steve's Big Dumb Podcast will be... podcasting. This is Steve Goody. Thanks for listening. Bye!